The American Homebrewers Association, which turns 40 this year, is offering a free book with every membership gift card purchase made during November and December. Head over to homebrewersassociation.org to see the free book options and learn more about the benefits of AHA membership. Spoiler, the books are awesome and the benefits are abundant. Head over to homebrewersassociation.org to see for yourself. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 15th, 2018. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes, proprietor of Steve's Brew Shop, joins me to taste our fifth in the hop sampler series. This time, it's Centennial, Citra, and Galaxy. What will we think of each? And will we be able to guess which is which? If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and a new shirt, which I'll talk about in just a minute. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that that will help new listeners to find us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to all the subscribers who are helping us out. If you go to basicbrewing.com, oops, nope. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Too many URLs in my life. If you are a supporter of Basic Brewing on Patreon, you already know that the Mockoli video episode will be released on Friday to the general public, but Patreon supporters have access to an early release of that show, along with my recipe for Mockoli. Patreon supporters of the $5 level have access to an extended 20-minute behind-the-scenes video that shows more details of the process, including some Steve Wilkes jokes that he cracked during the bottling that you don't hear on the regular show. Never a dull moment with Mr. Wilkes around. Thanks to everybody again for supporting us. Very exciting news, or at least it's exciting to me. We have a new shirt in the Basic Brewing Shop .com store, basicbrewingshop.com. It was designed by our friend and fellow home brewer, Casey Lohman. She's the one who designed the Reinheitsgebot. It is a four-letter word shirt. This new shirt features a rainbow of beerish colors going from carboys to different styles of beer glasses. It's kind of hard for me to explain. It's very cool, though. Very, very clever and very eye-catching. And it's on the store now. And since there are more colors than our usual shirts, they are a couple of bucks more. But they're still inexpensive. You know, T-shirts are pretty pricey nowadays, especially cool ones. In fact, it's such a cool shirt that maybe your significant other would wear it if it were found, say, under a certain tree. I'm getting letters coming in for our annual disaster show, which is good. Every year, Steve and I get together to read tales of homebrewing woe and sometimes redemption following the woe. We'll put together a little prize goodie bag for our favorite letters. You can send those disaster emails to james@basicbrewing.com. And not sure when we're going to get together. We haven't scheduled. It's hard for Steve and me to schedule stuff, so I'm not sure when we can get together. So get those letters in now. You heard the deal from the AHA at the top of the show on gift cards, but I want to let you know that the AHA has extended an additional offer to those who join or renew their memberships through the AHA banner on basicbrewing.com. So if you do join up or renew through my link through the end of the year, you'll get two awesome brewing books, Brewing Classic Styles and Wild Brews. So, you know, two books instead of the one. If you've already got those books, they would make great stocking stuffers as well. So check out the AHA banner on the right-hand side of basicbrewing.com. Click on that and use the code BASICBREW18. BASICBREW18 at when you click on that link. I'm on your side if you're tired of people talking about Christmas even before Halloween or Thanksgiving. It gets earlier every year. But we will be taking the next week off from posting the podcast because of Thanksgiving. If you're able to do the same and spend time with your family, I hope that you are safe and happy. I hope you're safe and happy wherever you are. But it seems like every week it's another disaster, some sort of weather or fires or whatever, putting people out of their homes. And boy, I hope that you're out of harm's way wherever you are. Let's skip to a more happy note. I get an email from our sponsor, Poncho of Poncho's Brewing Lab, saying he's putting the 20-gallon water cooler on sale for $125 until the end of the year. And if you use the code BBR at ponchosbrewinglab.com, that's P-A-N-C-H-O-S, brewinglab.com, you'll get an additional 15% off. You've heard me talk about Poncho's Keg Cooler. It's the 20-gallon water cooler that you can get with a built-in tap that's designed to house a 5-gallon corny keg. Poncho says he designed the keg cooler as an alternative to jockey boxes, which he found to be a pain to work with. Poncho's Keg Coolers are great outside in the summer, and you know what? They're just as great inside in the winter. Your beer keg stays cold in the cooler with ice in the warm rec room or hunting lodge or wherever you're having a gathering. And you don't have, it's a cooler, so you don't have condensation to deal with. Poncho's Keg Cooler now has a stainless steel retractable intertap faucet. And the Keg Cooler Pro comes with a Sankey tap, so the cooler can be used with a sextal or quarter barrel Sankey keg in addition to homebrew cornies. And you can customize yours at ponchosbrewinglab.com. And don't forget about that $125 deal on the water cooler itself. And don't forget to use BBR to save 15% on yours at ponchosbrewinglab.com. Boy, I've got a lot of business stuff this week. Let's take a look into the mailbag. Nate from Maryland says, I'm just getting started in brewing and had an odd brewing question. Has anyone brewed a beer with whiskey backset? That was a new one to me. When making whiskey, you make beer and cook off the alcohol. The stuff left in the pot after the alcohol is gone is called the backset or spent mash. Most of this gets thrown away, but some distillers take a portion, up to 50%, Nate says, of the slightly acidic and flavorful liquid and add it to their next batch to alter pH and add flavor. This is where the term sour mash that we see on some whiskey bottles comes from. Nate says most of this stuff gets thrown away, so it shouldn't be hard to find a small distillery and get a couple gallons of the spent mash to experiment with. Plus, a sour mashed sour mash sounds fun to say. It's kind of fun to say. Nate goes on to say that he doesn't think he has the expertise to try it himself. But I say you don't have to be experienced to try crazy stuff. I encouraged him to go for it. I did find a post on Reddit where someone asked the same question about 4 years ago. And there was some conjecture on there about how it would go. Most were skeptical. But I didn't find any posts about, people actually brewing with backset. So I'll throw that question out to you. Have you or do you know of anyone brewing beer with whiskey backset? Is it worth a try or would it just be nasty? Drop me a line and let me know. I also got a couple of emails from our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. Big news here. You'll have to act fast on this deal, but High Gravity is offering free shipping on High Gravity's ingredient kits until this Friday, November 16th. So if you go to highgravitybrew.com, for example, a couple of their signature kits that are currently featured on the homepage are Hold Your Hat American Saison and Love Potion, which is a Scottish ale. Both of those sound fun and tasty. High gravity is also big news, taking orders for bootleg biology yeast. You know, those tend to be on the funky and sour side. So those would be fun to play with. That's in addition to Imperial Organic Yeast, which High Gravity also carries. And they also have the standbys as well. And of course, High Gravity has a wide variety of electric brewing systems to fit all your wants and desires, from single to three vessel systems, and from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels. Take the pain out of propane this brewing season by going electric at highgravitybrew.com. And if you use the code EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric brewing purchase. It's at highgravitybrew.com. Okay, it's been a while since we've done a hop sampler show. This is our 5th one. I won't go into the ups and downs of our off-mic lives, but Steve and I haven't been able to arrange a get-together recently. Shoo! Luckily, we were able to carve out some time recently to sample Centennial, Citra, and Galaxy. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these the hop samplers. Life has gotten in the way again. Well, yeah, I know people enjoy nothing more than us complaining about how busy and
<That's right.
laughs> our personal circumstances, but you know, things happen.
They certainly do.
So it's good to get back together and good to taste some fun beers. So what we have here, and this is the 5th time we've done this, and I've done it basically the same every time. I take 3 quarts of filtered water, and I warm it up a little bit. I add 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract. I bring it just to a boil, which is around 208 degrees Fahrenheit when it starts to, you know, bubble up like it's going to boil. I shut off the heat, and then I added 1/2 ounce of each of these hops, because these are fairly high alpha hops. And then I do a 30-minute hop stand where I just set the pot aside and for 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, I chill it down, and I add 3 grams of Safale USO5. And I get a couple of emails asking how I measure that, and I've got this fairly inexpensive but very sensitive, it must be like a jeweler's scale or something on Amazon. I forget the brand, but it does measure in like hundredths of a gram. So so I put a piece of foil on there, I tear it, tare it, the scale, and then I just measure out 3 grams of yeast and dump it into the 1 gallon jug fermenter. And then these are primed with the carb drops, you know, the little candies, not the little aspirin-looking things, but the candies.
Right.
So what are your overall perceptions about the beers?
Well, I think they're all perfectly well-made. In other words, there's no brewing flaws in them. I don't know how to go into this. I thought all three were pretty good. Number 2 has a weirdness about it that's, like your word was earthy a minute ago, but all 3 of them are very different, and that's good. In other words, we've got these 3 different yeasts hops, and I'm expecting different flavors from them, and indeed, I'm getting different flavors from them. So, I don't know, that's about it. They're nice beers, and I'll be anxious to see what you think of number 2 as well.
Mm-hmm. I should say that we have, this is a blind tasting. We've did a double blind procedure where we've randomized these beers and we put tape on the caps that identify which is which. But we have Centennial at 9.9% alpha acid, Citra at 13.3% alpha acid, and Galaxy at 14.7%. Alpha acid. So again, fairly high alpha hops, and only using 1/2 ounce in each of these, you know, sort of 1 gallon batches. Now, number 1, let's talk about our perceptions of each of the of the first beer, at least. What do you get from number one?
It's kind of the most normal beer-like to me. In other words, it has a very familiar hop characteristic to me. It's not over the top citrusy. It's not over the top, you know, earthy. It's not. It's just kind of like what I've always thought beer should taste like, or grew up thinking beer tastes like. It makes me think that it's Centennial, because it's kind of the most Cascade-like in a way. And I always think of Centennial and Cascade as kind of having the same basic flavor profile. It's nice. It's a nice little beer. If I brewed that as a 5-gallon batch of beer, I'd be perfectly happy to serve it to friends and family. It's not as over the top in hop characteristic as the other two beers. I'll put it that way.
To me, I mean, it's fairly nicely balanced, I think. To me, it's the most lemony. Mm-hmm. A second ago, I took a sip of it, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of lemon in there. And, you know, almost like a lemon pledge kind of a thing to me, which I think is good. I think it's delicious. The bitterness is well balanced for this beer. It's a nice, you know, American pale ale. Cha-ching!
I think we just made a sale at the store. Whenever that cash register rings, my phone goes off.
Your son Chase is watching the store today.
Yes, he is.
Christmas times are coming, folks.
We got to pay for this dental work I just had done. Keep those cards and letters coming in.
Address it to Dr.
Yes, right.
Dr. Payne be gone.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's a delicious beer. Maybe I'll hold off on guessing which is which.
Yeah.
But shall we read? I gleaned some information from hopslist.com.
I have this. It's been sealed in a mayonnaise jar
on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch since Tuesday.
That's right. So I'm going to read that. I'm missing a tooth, so if it comes out a little weird in my vocality, I'm missing a tooth and I've had some beer. Centennial. Centennial owes its existence to a mix of Brewer's Gold, Fuggle, East Kent Golding, and Bavarian hops. Developed in 1974 and released in 1990, Centennial was pioneered by Charles Chuck Zimmerman and S.T. Kinney at Washington State University. It is at times referred to as Super Cascade because of its similar citric characteristic. Centennial is a much celebrated hop in its versatility, with its depth of bitterness and forward aroma, two characteristics that balance each other beautifully.
Super Cascade. So in my brain, I'm thinking, which one is the most like Cascade? We're sniffing now. We're smelling. I don't smell as good as I used to. In more ways than one. Yeah. Well, I have two contenders.
Yeah, I have two contenders too.
That might fit those descriptors.
Well, it's interesting just talking about all three beers because we don't know what any of the hops are in them. I kind of tend to agree that I think number one is very nicely balanced, which could just be the luck of the draw, meaning you put in a half an ounce and it just happened to balance well for that strength of hop. But it's just nicely balanced. It's a nice drinking beer. I agree with your lemon comment. That you kind of put that thought in my head, but yeah, I get that.
So number two.
Okay.
Number two, when we first went through the the first tastes, we got to number two and both of us kind of went,
Yeah.
not what I was expecting.
It's just got this huge kind of like big earthy dirt clod lump.
In a nice way.
Well, okay, so the descriptors of dank and earthy, they all come to mind, but it comes to mind in a pretty big way on this sample of beer. I'm not sure I'm crazy about it. Maybe if you'd used a quarter of an ounce in this recipe, So I think sometimes it, you know, if you've used a hop that shouldn't have been used in that quantity and that volume, that's not really the hop's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm trying to kind of defend that the beer is not poorly made, it's not infected or anything like that, but I don't think it's in balance with itself. I don't think the hop is in balance with itself.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of it may be the most bitter of the three to me.
Yeah, I think it is the most bitter. And it is citrusy, but it doesn't have a pronounced, there's nothing very clear about it. It's kind of a muddiness.
There's a fruity character in there that maybe
it's Uncle Arthur.
But that's okay.
Oh, Samantha.
Oh. The center square.
Yeah.
But and maybe cherry or something like that. But then there's a bit of citrus as well. But then at the end, it's like after you swallow, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's dusty or dirt, almost dirty. Yeah. Literally earthy in that there's a kind of a dirt character.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You've said it as well as I could say it. Dank, dirty, dusty. Not, you know, I wouldn't serve this beer to anybody.
Yeah,
except in this setting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like you say, it's not contaminated. It's not, I don't think there's a flaw. And we've got another bottle. Once we reveal these, I've got another bottle of it that, you know, we could taste it, that second bottle, to see if it's a flaw within the bottle. Maybe it's a contaminated bottle, but their bottles are all treated the same. So, I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea.
It just tastes kind of old and cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you and I, I opened, when I brewed this, I brewed with these hops, I opened up the Galaxy, and the Galaxy was, it looked old to me. It looked brownish, and it smelled a little cheesy. Yep. But then when I bottled the beer, it tasted fine.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And we pulled those hops, I pulled them, and I contacted the distributor and got credit for them and quit selling them. But during the time in that, say, 10-day turnaround time before we kind of understood what was going on, a couple other guys brewed with them, and their beers were great. Mm. Like, they brought them in, and like, yeah, this is really good. And then you kind of reported back that you felt like it was okay, too. And so I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised, but I won't be surprised if number two turns out to be Galaxy, and we'll know why.
Yeah,
I'll feel kind of weird if it turns out that it's not.
Yeah,
I guess we're gonna find out. But yeah, those hops, you know, were sealed from the manufacturer. I just have a feeling that they were old when they were packaged. I don't really know. There's no way to know. And the distributor was fine. They were very cool with it. So we just pulled them off of our.
Or maybe that lot got mixed in with a. Maybe that was like last year's fireworks. You know, maybe they got mixed in.
Yeah, that's what I
accidentally, or who knows what happened.
Yeah.
But,
so I'm just really curious about this, and it makes me. I kind of didn't want to let my mind go there because I was hoping that they would be okay, but I have a feeling that we're going to find out that it's Galaxy.
Well, should you go ahead and read the description of a Galaxy while we're at it?
Yeah. It says it's descended from German variety Pearl or Perle. Galaxy is a unique Australian breed of hops that has the distinction of sporting the highest percentage of essential oils in the industry.
Mm.
I didn't know that. It has an amazing citrus, peach, passion fruit aroma, especially when used as a late addition. The flavor is often quite intense upon production, but mellows as it matures.
Mm.
Galaxy enjoyed her. Wow, it's a female. Well, galaxy.
All the
that's right.
All the binds that produce cones are female. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, galaxy. I was just interpreting pronouns in my mind. It's okay. Galaxy, I would have said it, but...
Or they.
Yeah. Galaxy enjoyed her first commercial production in 2009 after 9 years of testing and quickly became popular both in Australia and overseas.
Okay.
So.
All right. And we have to say that this beer was brewed. Today is November 8th. Mm-hmm. These beers were brewed on September 6th. But they've been in the, once they were bottle conditioned, like a week or so, I put them in the fridge. So mm-hmm. that should have, and they don't taste stale at all.
No.
And who knows if they would have tasted more fresh and hoppy, you know, a few weeks ago, but they still taste good.
Yeah, they do. And so when I was tasting the beers along the way, number three, which I'll take a sip of.
Segue.
It's very pleasant. I quite like it.
Mm.
I think it might be my favorite of the three.
Mm.
And it's the one that, in terms of description, matches Galaxy the most.
Yeah.
It's definitely peachy and passion fruity. You know, it's really nice. It's what I would expect Galaxy to be. So, and I really do like that one quite a lot.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, now that it's warmed up a little bit, boy, that tropical fruit flavor is really coming through.
Mm-hmm.
It's not near, when I first tasted it, when it was very cold, I thought, oh, that's grapefruity. But now it's more complex. It's more of a soft tropical fruit flavor. It's not as bitter, maybe, as the other two, to, mm-hmm. my, to my perception. But yeah, I think, as far as the flavor is concerned, I think I'm leaning toward... going with you and saying that it's my favorite of the three flavor-wise.
Now, and I would also say, based on the written description, forgetting the kind of overpoweringness of it, but number two, which is the one that we weren't so crazy about, it on paper seems to be Citra. It's really got almost that... dried, the white part of the grapefruit rind.
Well, read the description of Citra while we're on.
Okay. Oh, we haven't read that one yet?
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, let's do that.
We skipped.
Sorry. American Hop Citra was created by John I. Haas, Inc., and Select Botanicals Group Joint Venture. This is from hoplist.com, by the way. And the hop breeding company. It was selected or released to... I got to learn how to read. A four-year-old boy could understand this. Can you go out and get me a four-year-old boy? Thank you, Groucho. It was released to the brewing world in 2008. Now one of the most coveted high-impact aroma hops in the U.S., particularly among craft brewers, it boasts a complex lineage that includes the likes of Hallertau Middelfrue, Tattening, Brewer's Gold, and East Kent Golding. Citra, as its name implies, has a strong citrus profile. This is largely credited to the very high myrcene. Myrcene.
We'll say that.
Yeah. It has an extraordinary flavor profile of grapefruit, and that's what it reminds me of. Number two does. Lime and tropical fruits, but despite its high alphas, brewers often warn against its use for bittering, which is considered by some to be harsh and undesirable.
Ah.
Now that, again, on paper, that's number two.
And the more it's warmed up, the less that it's still there, but more fruity characters are coming out. So, it. Wow, what a conundrum!
If only there were a way we could find out.
So, do we want to lock in our votes here? What do you say? What say you of number one? Which one do you think it is?
I'm going to go with number one being Centennial. Boy, watch me just be dead wrong. I'm going to go with number one is Centennial. I'm going to go with number two is Citra. And I'm going to go with number three is Galaxy.
Well, I think number one, that lemon character makes me want to say Citra.
Okay.
Just because I think when I think of Citra, I think of citrus.
Right. Well, yeah.
You're probably right.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm going to say number one is Citra. what is Centennial again? It's super Cascade. All right, I'm going to say number one is Citra, number two is Galaxy, number three is Centennial. All right, so you got both hands.
Okay.
So number one is...
Well,
I think you're right.
I don't know. Number one is Centennial.
You got that right.
I got that one right. Number two, this is what I'm really not sure about. Number two is Galaxy.
Oh, I'll be darned.
So
I got right, that. I got that one right.
And our suspicions of the Galaxy being old and not tasting
right
are founded. And so now we know that this one is indeed Citra. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I knew I should have done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I was so taken by how much the Citra tasted like the description of Galaxy that I thought, well, I'm just going to do that and see if I'm right or not. So, but that's not surprising at all, in that Citra is extremely popular and here's, again, a reason why.
Yeah.
Because it was so nice.
It's delicious.
And then the Galaxy, now it makes me want to do the same thing with some fresh Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we... I've got that other bottle of Galaxy. Yeah, Should we just take a quick taste to make sure that it's just not a bottle issue?
Yeah.
It's what they do in homebrew competitions every now and then. If something tastes weird... And there's another bottle, you know, judges can ask the steward for another bottle to make sure that, you know, there's not just a bottle issue. So, teamwork.
Yep. Yeah, tastes the same.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, that's very instructive. Remember when we thought all hops were brown? That was the natural state they came in?
That's right. They all look like cork.
Wow. I'm so taken with how pronounced that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it really pays to have fresh hops, for sure.
That is no kidding. Wow.
And I took a picture of those hops at the time and sent them to you and said, these don't look right.
Right, and that's what, and then I forwarded that onto the distributor, and he agreed with me, and so we just yanked them, and you know they gave me a credit, and that was the end of that. But wow, I'm really quite surprised at how unpleasant it is.
Yeah, this one, at least I may be getting palate fatigue already, but this one is not as off-putting as that first taste, but there's still that dirty, earthy stuff going on in the background.
Yeah. So, with Belgian beers, they, you know, 2 years old, 4 years old, the cheesy, it's so interesting how something that might be desirable in one way is completely undesirable in another brewing instance. And,
Well, the cheesy hops that I think they use are not as high in alpha acids, first of all. So there's maybe they're not as off-putting because, you know, those alpha acids, there's not much of them, and they fade over time, and I don't know. It's just
I don't know either. I'm
talking out of my nether regions, but...
Well, you drink enough of this beer, and you'll be talking out of your nether regions, that's for sure.
In Morse code.
Yeah. Oh, Dot.
when you're near me, darling, can't you hear my SOS?
That's right.
Abba as it was never intended. Okay, so are you sticking with number three, the Citra, being your favorite?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I like it quite well. The Centennial one is fine. But again, it's kind of exactly what I expected it to be. It tastes like the beer that I grew up drinking. Mm. So nothing about it was off-putting. Nothing about it was really outstanding. It was just a good bottle of beer.
Just a good solid pale ale.
Yeah, exactly. And then the number three, which was the Citra, really shined with all those flavors, again, that I was expecting on paper to be Galaxy. But mm-hmm. boy, what a really nice beer that made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once we get a new shipment of Galaxy, it'll be next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was told that, you know, that's it. There's no more. We can't replace them. They come out once a year, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So, but a year from now, we'll do it again.
Yeah. We'll put it back on the hop sampler list when we get new ones. All right. Well, this is fun. I appreciate your help again.
Thanks, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve. You can find his homebrew store at stevesbrewshop.com. It is rare nowadays that we have issues with the quality of ingredients. You know, most of the time, it's everything is good stuff. So we still don't know what happened to that shipment of Galaxy, but it's good to know that the distributor made good on it. And I look forward to next year's crop and to the next edition of the hop sampler, whichever ones we choose. I still need to go to the store and get ingredients for that, so I'll be interested to see what Steve suggests. Don't forget to send in your disaster show stories. If you have those, or brewing questions, or show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Sounds like I was about to sing. I'm not. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering, and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. And somebody asked me, are they region-encoded? And they are not. They are not region-encoded, so wherever you are. If you still have a DVD player, you can play them. You can also get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store too, including our new Brewing Rainbow shirt. You can find our logbooks where you can track and log up to 50 batches of beer. Check all that out at basicbrewingshop.com and take a look at our silicone pints as well. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.